City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We are talking mega gay.
Oh, I like that.
I'm Deb Pierce.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Can't begin to know it, but then I know it's growing strong. Wasn't the spring, and spring became summer. Who'd have believed you'd come along? Touching hands, reaching out, touching me, touching me.
And you're listening to the Windy City Queercast show number 340. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Deb Pierce.
All the way from Toronto, eh?
Yeah, totally, eh?
How's Toronto?
Oh, Toronto's cold.
Is it?
Yes, it's getting to the freezing mark for us, which isn't your mark, but it's our freezing mark, and I'm getting frost on my car in the morning. I'm going to have to kick the old car out of the garage and start using the garage for the winter.
The garage. So how was your Hallow Week? I know you were hanging out with the Windy City gay idol, Amy Kelly.
Yes. She came up to the city, and it was great to see her. She and the person that she came up with had a really good time.
They're big fun, those girls.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun.
And where did you all go? Where did you show them?
We actually spent the afternoon at the Church Mouse in Firkin, and then I brought her to Proud FM for a tour. And unfortunately, I was off the air as early as 10 a.m., and I don't think she was up in time to do an interview and didn't give me enough notice. So I got her into the studio during a live show, so that was nice. And then I told them that the Friday night I would be at the pumpkin carving on Church Street, just at Zelda's, which you might remember. And they got caught up at a restaurant that they were eating at, so she couldn't come to see me. But yeah. I think they had a great time.
It's such a great city. I love Hallow Week, and I really missed it this year. I was saying on a Queercast earlier that I was so sad that Kelly and I stayed home to give out candy because the dog has her own personal Beirut on 4th of July and Halloween. So we stayed there and we bought the candy that we liked, thinking we're going to give away great candy like the Starbursts and the Almond Joys and the Reese peanut butter cups. We had two trick-or-treaters. So
that's so sad.
What have I been doing but eating Starbursts and Almond Joys and Reese cups and then trying to go hit tennis balls so that I don't weigh 250 pounds.
You call them Reese cups. We call them Reese's peanut butter cups. Reese's.
That's probably correct. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
So what else is going on in your world?
I'm working really hard. I've got a new morning show guy with me in there, so that's really great.
Who is he?
His name's Patrick. He's a porn star. He's Canadian, but he went to L.A., really. He changed his name to Eddie Stone and went to L.A. and did porn for years. Came back and interned at Proud FM, and he's now my co-host.
He's your bitch.
Yeah, he totally is, and we're having a great time together. And November is a crazy month for me for gigs, and I have consistently double-booked myself to be physically in two different places at once, twice, on the 14th and the 24th, and the organizers of both events have let me half my time, and I'm going to be taking cabs across the city this Saturday. I'm hosting the Ontario AIDS Network Honor Roll Awards. And then I'm going down to Klondike Gays, the Canadian Gay and Lesbian Archives dinner, and doing some comedy and my Anne Murray impersonation and karaoke. So I'm literally like 6:30 to 9:30, 9:45 to 12:30.
Did you watch the Oprah karaoke challenge?
I actually did this part two today.
Yeah.
It's part two today. Yeah, I'm enjoying it. I love karaoke. I'll tell you, I've been on stage. I know you can relate, in front of many, many, many people.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done karaoke. Which would you think I would be nervous in front of?
What do you mean?
Well,
singing?
Yes, totally. I'm nervous in front of singing. Oh, that's new too. I auditioned for a new musical coming to Toronto.
You did?
I'm not really a singer, and I'm definitely not a dancer, nor an actor.
What was the show?
Rock of Ages.
Oh, yeah. I have a friend on that, on Broadway.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
Constantine from American Idol?
No, it's not him. Oh. Nope. It's somebody I worked with many years ago. I'm actually trying to find him because I'm going to be heading to New York to see Kelly and see some theater, but I don't know that we're going to get to see Rock of Ages. But
I can't wait to see it. I know you're significantly younger than myself, although I'm not quite sure how many years. I'll just say I'm 40, and you're not. But every single song in that musical, when I went down for the release of it, all the media was asked to go down. I know every single breath, every single word. I'm sitting at the Mervish Theater, right? David Mervish, those are our theater mm-hmm. people. David Mervish is to my right, like the guy, the theater guy. And all of a sudden, Dee Schneider from Twisted Sister comes out. REO Speedwagon comes out. Knight Rider comes out and sings Sister Christian. And then all of a sudden, our minds are blown by this new musical coming, which might as well be called Deb Pierce's High School The Musical.
Yeah, were like, you a hair band hanger?
No, I was preppy. I was preppy. But I loved all those. I never danced to a Journey song or an REO Speedwagon song because, frankly, in high school, I wasn't a goer. And the boys quickly found that out. And at 16, they're not going to waste their time with me because I'm not putting out. So I never got to dance those slow dances.
Well, but here's the thing. Like, I don't know all of the songs from the show, but, like, Kelly and I always laugh about this because I know REO Speedwagon and Journey. I love Journey. I used to love the Journey arcade game where you had to pick which guy you got to play. That was around when I was playing Tron. So we're not that off in age. But but Kelly was a total hair bander, like loves Motley Crue, loves Rat, loves...
Ew, really?
Judas Priest. I don't know. Who is it? I don't even know. I don't even know the names of the bands. Like...
Yeah, no, I was definitely in another thing. And in fact, I've talked to you about Foreigner, Journey, and REO Speedwagon, and I have some CDs for you. I have burned you some CDs with all of those songs on.
Aw, you're so sweet like that. Yeah. I loved that the guy speaking... Well, what I was going to say, take it back to Oprah, Amy. Take it back to Oprah, always. I watched the first round of the people they invited out of the hundreds or thousands of people they invited, and I said... Fuck, those people aren't even as good as our top 10 at Gay Idol in Chicago. So I don't know where they went and got those people, because we have great karaoke people at Gay Idol, which we're gearing up for in early 2010. But I thought that their people weren't nearly the kind of singers we have.
Yeah, but your singers are good singers. Karaoke, there's a thing, like the guy today did Sweet Caroline. That's a karaoke song.
It is.
So they really are the true sense of karaoke. And I think Oprah's producers really did an all-American search. I mean, there was a woman of color. There was somebody who, you know what I mean?
But we have it. We have, you know, an East Indian guy, African-American women, African-American men, white girls, white guys. Everybody's GLBT.
Well, maybe they weren't at that karaoke bar the night that Oprah Scouts went out.
I don't know, but we have much better karaoke singers. And then, but she did, I thought this was really cool. She had the show where she had the young guy from the Philippines who's now the lead singer of Journey.
Yep.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Yep. Love that story. so much.
You know, it's a great story, right?
You can be discovered. You too. Hey, we're going to take a really quick break. Deb and I are going to talk about the other lesbian talk show host that's not Oprah and not me and not her when we come back. But we've got a lot of news and what's going on in the theater scene, plus Sin and Jack bringing us By the Way.
Hi there. I'm a Miller Lite Brewmaster.
And I'm a Miller Lite Drinkmaster.
It's the Brewmaster Drinkmaster Show.
You know, most people know that Miller Lite tastes great, but up until now, only brewmasters like me knew why.
Well, most people know that my friends and I are the most dominating presence in the Kalamazoo Western Division Level 3 Softball League, but very few know why.
Huh. You see, we add the hops first for flavor, second for balance, and a third time to lock in the great Pilsner taste by enhancing the foamy head.
Yeah, well, we don't need fancy softball strategery to win.
We call it the triple hops brewing process.
Well, we call it heart, Mr. Man.
We're on the same team here. I thought you would appreciate this new information.
I apologize. I just wish I had something as important to share.
Well, buy a six-pack of Miller Lite and you will.
Miller Lite brewmasters have to know the ins and outs of triple hops brewing. The only thing you have to do is enjoy the great-tasting light beer. Miller Lite. Great taste, less filling. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Live responsibly.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is The Week in News.
The Latter-day Saints Church announced its support last week for an inclusive anti-discrimination law in Salt Lake City. The advocacy work by GLBT people and their friends and family within the LDS Church helped encourage the decision.
The Republican governor of Rhode Island has vetoed a measure that would give domestic partners the right to claim the bodies of their loved ones, as well as plan their funerals. Governor Carcieri said, "This bill represents a disturbing trend over the past few years of the incremental erosion of the principles surrounding traditional marriage." The bill's passage through the General Assembly was helped by resident Mark Goldberg, who told legislators about his fight to get the state to release the body of his partner of 17 years for cremation.
The Catholic Archdiocese of Washington, D.C. has threatened to end its social services program if the district keeps a proposed same-sex marriage law. The program provides various services of health care and shelter to thousands of people. However, the new bill would prevent religious groups from sexual orientation discrimination.
In Ohio, the Episcopal Diocese in the southern part of the state will now allow same-sex unions. Clergy will not be required to perform the ceremonies, which will be available to same-sex couples starting April 4th.
A New York teen has been charged with a hate crime. 16-year-old Frank Carney was charged with menacing as a hate crime after he and another individual allegedly harassed a 22-year-old man with anti-gay slurs and chased the victim.
In Niles, Michigan, a Walmart has banned a gay couple from all of its stores for life. On August 16th, the couple, Chicago attorneys Thomas Hitchcock and Joe Paolucci, allegedly caused a scene and were placed in police custody after stealing Bic lighters, which turned out to be false. The store's manager cited the lawyer's uncooperative behavior as the reason for the ban.
Pro-GLBT group Ask Cleveland wants to make it illegal to discriminate against trans residents. Last year, city council members considered adding gender identity to the city's anti-discrimination statute, along with a domestic partner registry, which passed last fall. Cleveland, Ohio was recently named the host of the 2014 Gay Games.
23-year-old Ross Burton was arrested after allegedly attempting to burn the gay pride flag at the Memphis Gay and Lesbian Community Center. Burton, a member of the Tennessee Air National Guard, was apprehended after fighting with police and even attempting to disarm one officer.
An Alabama school district has reversed its decision and now may allow lesbian high school student Cynthia Stewart to bring her girlfriend to the prom. Initially, the prom was canceled because Stewart wanted to bring her girlfriend to the Twarptown High School prom. However, pressure from the ACLU resulted in the reversal.
In world news, in India, trans and intersex individuals will now be acknowledged on voter forms. Before the decision, members of these two groups were referred to as either male or female. Now the category O for other will appear on the forms.
Ava Brune, age 55, has become the world's first out lesbian bishop. She was ordained by the Lutheran Church of Sweden in Stockholm.
In Canada, Father Carl Clemens, the country's first out Catholic priest, is marrying his partner. Clemens, who is 69, said he will be the first man of the Catholic cloth to enter into a same-sex marriage in Canada and possibly even in North America.
After 11 years, a lesbian couple in France has won the fight to adopt a child. French law lets gays and lesbians adopt as individuals, but not as couples. After being turned down in 1998, the administrative tribunal finally relented and allowed them to adopt on November 10th.
In entertainment news, Comedy Central has responded to the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation's demand for an apology regarding a recent South Park episode, and the network's stance is decidedly unapologetic. The episode, entitled The F-Word, involved the South Park kids changing the meaning of the word fag so that it's a slur against rude, burly motorcyclists. Comedy Central said, South Park is famous for tackling controversial subject matter in thoughtful and hilarious ways. This particular episode of the show has been both criticized and applauded within the gay and lesbian community. With all of that in mind, we will let this South Park episode speak for itself.
The Trevor Project, a crisis and suicide prevention organization for LGBTQ youth, announced that it will honor out actor Neil Patrick Harris and communications company AT&T Incorporated at Cracked Christmas 12 in Los Angeles on December 6. Cracked Christmas, the organization's largest annual fundraiser, brings together top entertainers to support the project's programs, such as its free and confidential helpline, in-school workshops, community outreach, advocacy efforts, and educational resources.
Details of Levi Johnston's Playgirl shoot have been leaked. Johnston, who recently accepted a golden dildo at the Fleshbot Awards, posed naked with a hockey stick and was photographed wearing only a dress shirt.
Oprah Winfrey's best friend, Gail King, told the show Access Hollywood that she and Winfrey are not a lesbian couple. King said, "The thing is, if we were gay, we would tell you. We would so tell you. We wouldn't try to keep it a secret because there's nothing wrong with being gay. The truth of the matter is we're not. It's hard enough for me to get a date on Saturday night as it is."
Madonna will be the face of Dolce & Gabbana's spring and summer campaign for next year. The duo designed costumes for the singer's Girly Show tour in 1993 and the Sticky and Sweet tour in 2008. And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Once you have found him, never let him go.
Once you have found her.
Washington Post calls it the best revival of Rodgers and Hammerstein in a generation. There is nothing like South Pacific.
Coming to the Rosemont Theater November 24th through 29th, tickets are now on sale at the box office and all Ticketmaster locations.
Hey, I'm Sin.
And I'm Jack.
And we're putting the B in the big gay alphabet with a he said, she said conversation about today's question.
So, Sin, we're wondering, people are wondering out there, how out are you as a bisexual?
Wow, I am pretty out and about. Right now, I work for a gay company, so that makes it pretty easy. You know, you don't have to come out to your coworkers. Actually, I did feel like I had to come out to my coworkers, you know.
Because
so that
they made assumptions right off the bat?
So that they didn't think I was straight, and yeah, I mean, just because I knew that they were probably sizing me up or whatever, you know,
sniffing out the new girl.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
I came out to my mom a while ago. My brother found out in MySpace, which he did not appreciate. He's like, "What the hell? My friends told me they saw this on MySpace." And my mom wasn't very happy. She thought it was a phase. And I didn't come out to my dad until I was in a serious relationship with a woman for about a year. But yeah, so I'm totally out to even like my high school friends, all the breeders, even though whenever I'm dating guys, they're like, "Oh, it's so much easier when you date guys because then we can relate to you and we know what to say." And I'm like, "Oh my God, say the same fucking things, just change the pronouns."
Heterosexuals say the strangest things.
I know, those breeders.
Oh God.
So yeah, but the weird thing is I actually, I'm starting this new job and it's kind of church affiliated, and so that was definitely one of my interview questions, is like, you know, how involved is the church, like, are they queer friendly, you know, and
were they receptive to that?
Yeah, well, luckily it was a friend of mine that was interviewing me, so I could be pretty blunt, my usual blunt self. So but yeah, I guess the church had a queer pastor or whatever they're called, and sounds like there's some queers on staff. So
sweet.
So as much as I intend to keep some of and so, as much as I intend to keep my personal life private, just, you know, just for work reasons.
What about with, like, your doctor or anything like that?
Well, I have to, yeah. I mean, because, you know, I sleep with guys, so there's, you know, guys and girls. So,
gotcha.
So, I mean, it's annoying when I'm exclusively dating a woman for a long time and they assume, like, oh, you need to be birth control and all this kind of crap. And I'm like, no, actually, I don't. No dick involved. No live ones. So, but yeah, I mean, so I'm always upfront about it as is necessary. You know, I mean, I'm not like, hi, I'm Cynthia, I'm a bisexual to my doctors. And in healthcare, I mean, they fuck you no matter what. If you're of childbearing age as a woman, they charge you even if you're a full-blown lesbian in a committed relationship. So I mean, fuck them. You know, I don't know. Yeah, so I'm pretty out.
That's cool.
What about you?
I'm pretty out with my friends. Some of them understand it, some don't. But as far as family goes, my family's kind of like ass backwards. So I'm like, just let sleeping dogs lie. And
do they know though?
I know one. Two people do, but the rest of them, I don't think they do. Mm. And
is that the way you want to keep it?
It's easier that way. I mean, I'm not particularly close to them, so
okay. It's just
easier that way. And my friends, they get it. Coworkers, I'm out as bi to a couple of them, and they understand it because one of the women, she has bi tendencies too. But for the most part, yeah, a lot of people out there don't understand it.
Mm-mm.
So
no, even my best friend, who's a lesbian, is just absolutely fucking convinced that I'm going to end up with a woman. Like, every time I date a guy, she'll be like, oh my God, you have a boyfriend. And I'll be like, first of all, we went on 2 dates. That was not a boyfriend make. And
exactly.
Second of all, like, you know, I got to figure this out for me. I'm not going to be a lesbian for you, friend. But it's crazy. My best friend, who totally says she gets it, doesn't. She wants me to be a lesbian like her.
Exactly.
So.
That's right. A servant.
Yeah, it's crazy. So what about you with healthcare stuff?
Yeah, I'm open with my doctor about everything, and it's just easiest that way.
Have you always been like that with doctors?
Yeah. I mean, it's like, I think they've seen it all, and they seem to get it.
Do they treat you differently once you say you sleep with guys, too?
Not really. Like, they, you know, ask me, like, you know, typical blood work and testing stuff, but It's cool.
Cool.
Yeah.
So the theme here is being out is good. We need more bisexuals out and about, right?
Step out and represent.
That's right. We need more bees.
That's right. Where are my bees at? So, that's By the Way this week.
I'm Sin.
And I'm Jack. And we'll be back with more Bee here on the Windy City Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mel Brooks.
Hello, my name is Mel Brooks, and I'd like to tell you a little about my new...
Young Frankenstein, the new Mel Brooks musical...
Wait a minute, I wasn't finished.
Oh, sorry.
Anyway, like I was saying, Young Frankenstein is my first...
Tickets for Young Frankenstein, the new Mel Brooks musical, are now on sale.
What's your problem? I'm talking here.
Well, I'm just so excited. Sorry for interrupting. Go ahead, sir.
I forgot what I was going to say.
Now playing through December 13th at the Cadillac Palace Theater. For tickets, call 800-775-2000 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of November 16th, 2009, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
You're invited to a marvelous party. Writers Theater presents the musical comedy review, Oh Coward. Acclaimed director Jim Cordy brings Noel Coward's effervescent music, quips, and wit to life. Be transported to a 1930s nightclub for a must-see evening of the most memorable tunes of the 20th century. Tickets are selling quickly. Order yours today by logging on to writerstheater.org.
Court Theater presents The Mystery of Irma Vep, written by Charles Ludlam. Irma Vep satirizes all that is ridiculous in gothic horror, classic film, and conventional theater. And it's also a contender for the funniest American play of the last quarter century. Playing now. Get tickets for Irma Vep at courttheater.org.
You met him as George Gershwin in George Gershwin Alone, then as Frederick Chopin. Now, Hershey Felder returns to Chicago as the greatest composer of them all, Ludwig von Beethoven, in Beethoven as I Knew Him, featuring some of the composer's most well-known works. Don't miss Beethoven as I Knew Him, playing now through December 20th at the Drury Lane Water Tower Place. For tickets, visit Ticketmaster.com.
Meet Florence Foster Jenkins in Souvenir, the uproarious story inspired by a tone-deaf socialite destined for Carnegie Hall. A touching and comic tribute to Ms. Jenkins' sincerity, ambition, and complete lack of talent, Souvenir chronicles her unlikely journey from laughingstock to musical legend, playing at North Light Theater through December 20th. visit northlight.org for tickets to Souvenir. And for more Culture Club, visit windycitytimes.com.
Hey, this is Levi Kreis, and you are on the Windy City Queercast.
Deb Pierce, I texted you at one point and said, hey, when you and I talk, let's talk about Ellen DeGeneres being on Oprah. And then I said, do you get Oprah?
Oh, my God. And I
know.
Said, we're getting running water soon up in Canada, too.
Was I really blonde? That was just a really blonde thing to say.
You know what? I don't want to say used to it because it seems placating you, but there is something about people south of the Canadian border that just, there's just things that you don't think we have, and I find it interesting.
Well, I knew you had Oprah, but I didn't know if you were getting it live, like we were getting it live, because, you know, I didn't know when things rolled out for you all.
Yeah, no, well, those kind of shows have to be, well, some of it has to be really timely, now, especially now that she's doing a live show on Fridays, right? So, yeah, we get it, and I watched it in bed last night. I PVR'd it, and I watched it, and of course, we're talking about Ellen and Portia being on there, of course, the whole story of Ellen wanting to be on the cover, and the lengths to which she went to do so, and I love the story. Ellen's so smart. I think this is one of the things that she's definitely come up with for her show on her own, which I love. Mm-hmm. Even more. She's so, I don't want to say the secret and laws of attraction thing, but she really, the story of it being the cover girl on the inside, which I'm sure she had no aspirations to be as a child.
Right.
And then thought, I'm on the inside. Why don't I try to be on the outside? Brilliant. So great. Words to live by. Nothing's too big. And then they marketed it brilliantly. And then they got on it, and then they showed the photo shoot or whatever, and of course that was on there. But then Portia coming out, there was a glow. There was just, you know, the face that some people make when they see somebody that they really, really love?
Mm-hmm.
She makes the face.
Mm-hmm.
And it's beautiful. And her connection with Portia on stage was stunning. And I thought it was beautiful. Now, the one thing, did you notice anything about that particular interview? Does anything jump out for you?
I always notice things about Ellen and these kind of scenarios.
Okay, so did you notice that there was a word missing?
A word missing? Love?
No, but it's an L word. Lesbian.
Oh.
Which is fine. But it was all very, you know, when you're a gay person, and you're a gay, and that's fine, because I kind of identify with gay as well. It's almost not, it's not acknowledging it, but there's something, I think they were remiss in not using the word, or allowing Oprah to get away with not using the word.
It is interesting, because what I really love and respect Ellen, and I too think that they're a really beautiful example, and it is reminiscent, though, I have to say. Wasn't she on a couch with Anne Heche there, too? I don't know. I can't remember.
Not the same face.
Huh?
Oh, not the same face.
Oh, no, it's not. But I just mean, you know.
I know.
I think Ellen falls in love easily. I think Portia would be easy to fall in love with. But and I would have thought Anne Heche would have been easy to fall in love with probably, too. Probably be a fun ride for a while until the ride got scary. But
crazy girls are so great to have sex with, aren't they?
Oh, crazy girls are just great. But I
I am always, it's always curious to me that I sense from Ellen, and I was curious if I would sense it when she was talking with Oprah. She has a real vulnerability about her, and I can still see shame in her. And I don't know what I mean by that, except that...
No, you're right. You've nailed it on the head.
And I see somebody who I find is super comfortable on her show, who is super comfortable hosting the Oscars, who's super comfortable making a joke even about, you know, what would upset the terrorists more, you know, than a lesbian in a room full of Jews. I don't know whatever that joke was. It was so great, you know.
Yeah.
Right after 9/11 when she was hosting the Emmys. But I see somebody who, when she sits down and she can't be Ellen DeGeneres and she has to be Ellen the gay woman in public. Now, I don't think she has this in her own home or with her circle of friends, but there's a fragility around it. You know, she seems very fragile. I see the deep shame. I see the life of being hidden and closeted. And it just seems a little gun shy, a little skittish to me. And
I think that's probably why she is who she is, though, because people that become comedians, mm-hmm. there is a story there. There is something about their own self-loathing, their own I'm not good enough and I need the approval of laughter to validate
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
So I get that she went to comedy. Also, I don't think we can discount that Louisiana not so progressive and
yeah.
she's not, you know, she's how old is she? She's got to be, you know, I think she's
50.
Just turned 50
something, early 50s.
I think she's got to be 51 now because I think that was a big birthday, that was Madonna. I'm getting her confused.
They all had the big birthday. It was like Michael Jackson, Madonna, Prince, Ellen, everybody turned 50 in the same year.
See, and that's the thing, because even, you know, 5 years, 10 years, there are differences there. And then geographically, not so much in Canada, maybe suburban centers in Canada. But, you know, I don't think we can discount the Louisiana part. And it's amazing that, of course, her mother is as amazing as she is. And she's adorable. Doesn't she look? She's just adorable, that mom.
I've hung out with Betty DeGeneres. I got her a white wine spritzer, and she didn't like the first one. So I had to go back and get her another one. That was many years ago.
I, as Betty DeGeneres, introduced her to my mother, Betty Pierce, at a book signing that she read at a small gay theater here in Toronto, Buddy's Times. And it was an amazing moment because I saw so much in Betty DeGeneres. And if my mom had the interest or ability to put down in words her life experience with a lesbian daughter, they were so paralleled.
Mm.
But always making the family laugh and doing this and that and the other thing. And I knew it was really important for my mom to be there, you know, to be part of that night. Because, you know, she's there. She has the strength around her. And I think as soon as she started to lose weight, do you remember that time where Ellen started to get small? Now she's really small.
She is really small. She's like Portia small.
Even on TV, she's small.
Oh, she's small. She got small with Anne Heche, and she stayed small.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's also, too, I'm expecting that day for myself. I believe I'll shed weight as I continue through my journey of therapy. But I think that that's a sign that she's kind of shedding some stuff, you know, purging some stuff. And, you know, she's not on a time limit, but I see what you mean about there's a certain protected level. And, frankly, that's probably why she has... avoided certain things like tabloids to a certain extent because she's not controversial. She really does just live her days as she can and get through, you know, struggles and whatever as she can.
Ellen's not political.
No.
Ellen's mere existence is political. Ellen is not political. And we want her to be political, and she is not.
Right.
You know, she is just not a political person. Publicly.
Right.
I mean, I can name the kind of gay things that she goes to or she supports. Now, I'm sure she supports a lot of stuff privately. You know, she was at the HRC March on Washington, which is where I met her mom. And that was when she was with Anne Heche, and Julie Cypher was with Melissa Etheridge, and all those relationships broke up about 3 weeks later. you know, she was there, and she was Matthew Shepard's vigil the night he was killed. She was almost more political with Anne for just a period of time when she came out and all of that. And then, you know, I think when 3 years the phone didn't ring, she adjusted to that of like, I'm out, but this is how out I can be. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, she is a mainstream star. So I think she was right. Like, who would have ever thought that, you know, women who are at-home moms or stay-at-home women and men, you know, would watch her and that she would be such a huge talk show. But who would have thought that an African-American woman, you know, from Nashville, right, Tennessee, would be either? So
she's not us for even thinking, you know, having a preconceived notion of what somebody successful and popular should look like. There's a cardboard cutout, an unspoken cardboard cutout of what we think should be successful through the media. But she's not gay on TV. You know?
So, well, she talks about her life, and, you know, she shared her wedding stuff, which I thought was pretty personal, and some vacation stuff, you know, with them.
Yeah. But she's much more household. She plays it safe. I do that on my show a little bit as well, because you don't always want the entire world, and at this point her popularity is that far-reaching. You don't want everyone knowing the little nuances, the cute little quirky things you can, but, you know, there is still, she does have a right to her own privacy, and in some cases her privacy is her sexuality, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's exactly right. But I thought it was huge that they were on there, and that Portia decided to do it with her, and I think that Portia is a really graceful woman. You know, I see a lot of grace in her. So I like that.
Yeah, she's kind of like a giraffe and a gazelle. she's kind of hot.
Yeah, that's what Kelly says. Kelly's like, she's kind of rockery hot. You don't think that, but then
I don't see the rocker in her.
We saw her when they filmed their live variety show here in Chicago.
Oh.
And Portia was kind of in just jeans, no makeup, hair kind of pulled up on top of her head, you know, had kind of like a leather blazer jacket on and flat little boots and, you know.
We need lesbians like that in Canada. You guys have the monopoly on the lesbians with hair.
With like me? Lesbians with hair?
Yes, there's not many lesbians with hair here.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not kidding you.
I don't know. Well, you know, me and Portia, that's what I can say.
Here it is.
I don't know that there are tons of us here either. I think it's L.A.
Yeah, that could be it.
They're all closeted. Well, Portia was for many years, as she said, on Ally McBeal and doing Sirens and making a lot of... She was with that rock and roll guy's daughter. Oh, I can't remember her name now. Anyhow, she was with a rocker chick.
Rock hot. And roll,
yeah, hot. Hot, hot, hot. So I guess we will talk again closer to the holiday time. You have already celebrated Thanksgiving. We are on the verge here of celebrating Thanksgiving. So we will eat turkey and stuffing for you.
And eat tofurkey for me. Don't forget tofurkey. I'm a vegetarian.
Tofurkey.
Yeah.
We will eat some tofurkey. Does tofurkey have the tryptophan in it?
Tofurkey is pressed soy product to look like a turkey roll with stuffed vegan dressing. So, no, there's nothing.
There's no tryptophan, though. So how do you get sleepy after you eat it?
No napping. We don't.
And you can't flash fry it or beer soak it, can you? Tofu, I guess.
I guess you could. Hey, maybe I'll try it. When is your Thanksgiving?
When's your Thanksgiving? I'm bringing the beer soaked. Fast fried.
Beer butt tofurkey.
Tofurkey. Oh, my gosh. Well, when do you find out if you're in Rock of Ages?
I'm sure they're never going to call. I did the audition literally in front of the casting director, the writer, Carl Nevin, and David Mervish, the theater man of Toronto. Mm-hmm. And I thank them very much for their time. I almost wanted to apologize because I felt shaky. Like, never had I not confidently hit two notes in Something to Talk About by Bonnie Raitt.
Oh, that's your song. That's what we did at Barrioke.
I know.
Barrioke at the Jackhammer when you were here.
That's the thing. But so I have it on tape. I'm sure they won't call, but it was a cattle call. It was a total cattle call. I went in under the guise of, I'm from Proud FM, and I want to see what the audition process is like. But really, in my heart, there's part of me that's like,
they're going to discover me.
Yes! Sister Kristen, oh, the time. I can sing it all.
That's your motor in.
Yeah. What's your price for flight? What does that even mean?
I don't know. What's your price for flight?
It was the 80s.
Hey, I have to tell you, I don't know how often this happens to you, but, you know, we just had the lovely Cheyenne Jackson on. I'm going to wrap up with this because it's a great little story. I didn't even talk about the gay Mormons. Well, they're not really gay Mormons. But let me just say really quickly before I tell that story that, the Latter-day Saints, they announced an inclusive anti-discrimination law in Salt Lake City. How cool is that? They basically are getting with the times. And also, we should know maybe even tomorrow the vote is happening on ENDA, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act. Representative Barney Frank and one of the representatives, Republican from Florida, have introduced this to prohibit employment discrimination, preferential treatment, and retaliation on the basis of sexual orientation, gender identity by employers with 15 or more employees. So, that's really cool that they are voting on it. So we will see how that goes down. We'll know next time.
Can I say something else that's really cool, Matheny?
Yeah.
Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Mm-hmm. Not only do we have cable and hot water.
Yes.
We can watch Oprah.
Uh-huh.
And no, you're never going to live that down. We just got World Pride 2014.
I'm coming there, 2014. Put it on the calendar.
You have to. It's huge. It was us or Stockholm, was it? I don't remember where it was. Anyway.
We can't remember because they were such a far second. Of course it's coming to Toronto.
Yeah, so 2014.
That's amazing. Well, another happy story besides that, 2014 in Toronto, and I'll wrap up with this, is that the lovely Cheyenne Jackson was on the show, about a week ago, and I just love him. I mean, he seems perfect, and then you interview him, and you realize he's pretty damn close, and he literally, the day we pushed the show out on the interweb there, to all you peeps,
You're so jiggy.
Thank you with my jiggy. Cheyenne had dropped. I got a personal email from Cheyenne Jackson, which rarely happens in this business, I should tell you. Deb can probably attest to that. And from celebrities. And he emailed and said, hey, I just completed a 17-hour day of filming 30 Rock and doing my show on Broadway. And I came home and my ball and chain, Monty, his partner he's been with for over a decade, was listening to your show, and I rewound it and listened to the entire show and just said how great it was and was just gushing. And I don't say that to say what he was saying about me, but I share that with you guys to say what that says about him. And I can tell you after 10 years of interviewing people, that is a rare event to have somebody do that. A lot of people do that live, maybe right after you finish interviewing them. They'll say, that was really great, or you're really good, or I really enjoyed this. But, for him to take that time was really, really special. So thank you, Cheyenne. I hope you're still listening and singing the big notes in Finian's Rainbow. Go see him on Broadway. And the very funny Jackie Hoffman of Kissing Jessica Stein and about to star as Grandma in the new Addams Family is going to be on our next Queercast. So stay tuned because she is Jewish and funny and the gays all love her. And she's got a holiday show from only her perspective that she'll also be doing on Monday nights while she's in town doing the Addams Family. So much coming up, plus Thanksgiving. So Deb Pierce, I'm so glad you can watch Oprah. You have running water and indoor plumbing toiletries on the inside.
This winter we're gonna get heat.
Well, and that would just really make it a civilized country of which we could all now move to and get married.
Do it. Get up here and get married because you can.
Because you can, and yes, we can. All right, everybody, have a good week, and I hope you enjoy the show, and we will talk to you soon. Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast. Queer and now.